So good to see you here today. Who's happy to be in church today, huh? I know. I feel the same way. What a great day. What a beautiful spring day the Lord's given us. Big hello to all of our campuses that are watching in one of our 17 locations across the state of Alabama. Special shout out to the men and women in the Alabama Department of Corrections. Yesterday, we actually had a group that were allowed to come to our prayer service yesterday, and it was so beautiful as they shared how much the Highlands Correctional Ministry means to them. We love every single one of you guys, and to everybody that's watching online somewhere, so glad you're along for the ride. We are in week number 5 and the conclusion of a verse-by-verse study through one of the books of the Bible called the Song of Solomon. It's a song that the son of King David wrote to really show what human love is supposed to look like, God's way, that when you follow God's way about something that he created, there's some tremendous benefits, and it's very challenging, very difficult to understand because it's written with pictures. It's kind of an allegory, a lot of metaphors that made a whole lot of sense to them in that day because they had those places. So if your hair is like a flock of goats coming down from Mount Gilead, it's kind of nice whenever you have Mount Gilead standing next to you right there. You know what that looks like. So we wondered what would it look like had Solomon written it in 2018 in Alabama. So we have a version of that. You want to see it? Yeah, we have the new Alabama version. So let me just help. Let's just see if this kind of makes sense to you. So it goes something like this: How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil, or like the illuminated scratch-free screen of a new iPhone 10. Like, right, oh, I understand that one, right? So, and your hair is like gravy flowing down off the mountain of Cracker Barrel biscuits. Like, oh yeah, brother, I get that. That's beautiful, that's pretty. I like that, that's a lot. Or your teeth are like Titleist Pro V1s, that's golf balls, straight out of a new sleeve. Each has a twin, and none of them stand alone. Nothing more beautiful than that to me. I like that one. Your lips are like the scarlet fenders of a Tesla Model S. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like two slices of thick-cut applewood bacon. Come on. Come on, Alabama, or yell at. Give me a little amen right there. Here you go. Here you go. Your neck is like the national championship trophy. Tall, lean, and the envy of everyone in the land. Come on, see, like you get that. See, this, the Bible means something to you now, right, right? Your breasts are like two cakes from Edgar's Bakery. Perfectly frosted, but now available on Sundays. I mean, come on. Oh, how wonderful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of Sephora and to the hill of essential oils. And God's people said, hey, good. Oh, yeah, you get it now. So that's kind of, I'll be here all day. Thank you very much. All right, get your message note sheet out. Let's study the real word of God. All right, everybody. Come on, we believe in a little laughter around here. Church should not be endured. It should be enjoyed. Amen, everybody? That's right. The Bible says the God who sits in the heavens laughs. And we believe in humor. We believe you ought to enjoy church. It ought to be the highlight of your week. And we're so glad you're here. The Bible says laughter does good like medicine. I have a job today. I'm commanded by God to give you a little dose of medicine. And I want to give you God's word. I want to give you great worship. I want to give you a lot of hope today. I want to tell you, you can do it. You can make it. You're going to win. You can follow God's way, that God has something good for you. He knows our past, and he still loves us and wants to work in us. My goal is for you to leave here full of God, just in a better condition than you came in. And so we do it with humor, and we do it in every way we can because we love you all. We've worked all week long for you guys to show up today, and we pray in Jesus' name that you leave here never the same, and God's people said a good amen. Amen. All right, so your little message note sheet, if you're new to our church, most Sundays I produce these, and it's a little easier to follow along, and you can even fill in the blanks, and if you stay for a while, you can collect these notes. There are 3-ring binders out in the foyer. They're already paid for by your giving, so just take one. They're yours. And start collecting your message notes. You're watching online. You can download it somewhere right below me there, okay? Here we go. This is the theme. It's the first 3 verses of Song of Solomon. And it really sets for us the picture. It gives us the model. It gives us, I think it's the thesis for the whole book. And it says Solomon's Song of Songs. So of all the ones that he wrote, basically that means it's like King of Kings, Lords of Lords. This one's the best. He wrote 1,005 songs, First Kings says, but this was his best. And then she speaks, and she, Solomon, the wife, the husband, and then this chorus of friends that's watching their relationship, they speak as well. And I'll tell you whenever that changes, because it's hard to know sometimes. But she starts off and says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. The way you treat people, you've learned something about human love. You've learned something from God about how to treat people that makes you the envy of the land. And it's pleasing, pleasing. It's almost like when you show up in the room, everybody knows you're there. It's like good perfume or cologne. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. And you even have a reputation for it. You have a name for, man, you treat people right. He's a great dad. She's a great mom. Man, every employer would want to hire you. You have a reputation like perfume poured out. No wonder, she says, all the other women wish they could have you as their wife, but they can't because you're all mine. That's how it starts out. And I want to just say one more time, that's our goal. What I would hope for you, I'll just be very plain to you, is that you would engage in a journey here at Church of the Highlands. And we'll offer you God's word and worship and small groups and a lot of things in the hopes that there's a transformation that's taking place inside of every one of us. The way we say it is, give us a year of your life. You can actually start that process today with our step one of the growth track, which basically, I'll decipher that for you. That's our membership class. You'll get enough information in 1 hour to decide whether this should be your home church or not. You'll find out, trust me, everything you'll need to know to help you make that decision. And you can come back if it works, if it sounds like something you're interested in. We would love for you to be a part of this church family. But more than attending on Sunday, we want you to go on a journey with us so that God begins this transforming work on the inside. That's the hope. And I truly believe that if you allow God to work inside of you, they'll say the same things about you. Man, I'm telling you, they're different. I knew them. I knew them 5 years ago. And this person, something's happened to them. And I throw that out there to you, is that's what Christianity is all about. We are transformed, 2 Corinthians says, into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory. I pray that over you in Jesus' name. We left you off in this series. We basically started in the week number one with studying chapter one, a little bit of chapter two, as we see basically what human attraction should look like. What should you be attracted to? How do you make yourself more attractive? That was week number one. In week number two, we finished chapter two, where they actually begin their dating relationship. And we learn that God has a better model of courtship than the modern-day dating scene. Probably the most rewatched message so far in the series that helps people understand. Parents have used this to understand, okay, I now understand how to really lead my children. In week number three, they got married. We see that wedding, and then they have, in detail, in graphic detail, their honeymoon night. And we talked about godly sex. And I thought, as uncomfortable as it was for me to deliver to you, because it was honestly, it's a little embarrassing to talk about some of those things, but honestly, we can't let the devil and the world steal the narrative on sexuality. God's got to reclaim it. It has to be talked about in church again, and you can go watch that message if you missed it. Last week, Pastor Mark Pettis spoke on their fight. There's 8 chapters, and 2 chapters are them fighting. 25% of the book is them fighting. Doesn't that make you feel a lot better, right? That's about the average right there. And so Pastor Mark, while I was speaking at another church, he brought that message. Today we see their life. Actually, they're much older now. Their love relationship is deepening. We're not going to study chapter 7 a lot, but it's rich. We're going to really give you a few verses in chapter 7, then a few in chapter 8 to learn. How do you have love that lasts a lifetime? What's the true secret there? And he picks up in chapter 7. And he's speaking now, and watch what he says. How beautiful are your sandaled feet. Now, they're not pretty. There's nothing uglier than the foot. Can I get an amen, everybody, all right? But what is he doing here? He's showing us something. He's saying, what others consider to be ugly, I am now appreciating. What used to even bother me about you, I am now appreciating. The deepening, and I'm going to tell you, that's true. Tammy and I will be married 32 years this May, and what used to be like a quirk, I used to call him a quirk, and like, man, did you get that from your dad or your mom? Like, those nuances are what make her so cute to me now, right? I like some things I used to want to change. I don't even want to change anymore. I think she's so cute just the way she is. One of the things you don't know about Tammy is that her sense of humor is different than most people. All right, let me say it that way. And she laughs at stuff nobody else in the family laughs at, right? And so we'll be sitting and watching a show, and she likes, like, practical joke shows. So you'll watch her watching, like, Carbonaro Effect, where they're doing these pranks, and she's over there belly laughing. I don't think it's that funny. But I'll sit there next to her, and I'm belly laughing because I'm laughing at her laughing at it. You know, and I just think it's cute. We did that yesterday. My son came home from college for the weekend, and we were just laughing at mom, laughing at the TV. And it's just these nuances. So there's some things about her that as we get older, I was so attracted to at the beginning. I'm attracted to a whole different list now. 32 years, she's never said anything negative about me in public, not even one time. She's never said anything negative about you in the 17 years that we've been pastoring this church. Not even one time. Not in the private parts of our home has she ever spoken anything but beauty over you. Even if we were frustrated, even if there were some things not working out, she refused to let it come out of her lips. I honor her today for being the most beautiful, graceful. He says, your legs, your graceful legs are like jewels. The stuff nobody else gets to see, I see and I appreciate it like the work of an artist's hand. I think it's a beautiful text. Verse 11, come, my beloved, and let us go to the countryside. Now they say, you know what? It's time for a trip. We need to go out of town. We need to go spend some time together. On Valentine's Day, I got asked to speak at a church, and I said, no, I can't do it. It's Valentine's Day. And they said, like, we can't work it out any other time. And I don't know why I said yes. I went to Tammy and says, should I say yes to this? Because I don't want to take away that day from you. It was a Wednesday. And she goes, fine, I'll go with you. You know, it's no problem. And let's just go serve this church. I said, all right. So anyway, we went and served this church, and I spoke, and they worked me pretty hard. It was fun. But last week on the Wednesday the 21st, I made it up to her. I said, hey, let's go to Atlanta, just check in a hotel and go have a great meal somewhere. And we did, and it was fabulous. And it's just those little things of, come on, let's go spend the night. Let's go somewhere. Let's go early to the vineyards and see if the vines have budded. Notice with me, what season of the year, come on, answer out loud, what season of the year would things be budding? Answer the question. Springtime, sure. So they're in the winter of their lives, but they're still creating springtime moments. That's what I want you to see. Go where the blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. And there, hey, let's go have a night together, right? And what are they saying there? They're saying we can't leave it where it is, even though we've been together a long time. It's not in your notes, but for relationships to work, it takes work. I just want to say that to you one more time. Do whatever it takes to create some moments together, enjoying one another and loving each other and pouring into each other. There's two things not mentioned one time in the entire book. Two things not mentioned, and that is their kids and their jobs. Probably the biggest complaint we hear from women in counseling offices is that he gives his best away to other things. He's given his best to the kids and to the job and to career and sir, if you had a chance to defend yourself, you would say, yeah, but I'm doing it for her, and that's the line I've used too. And it does matter, and I honor you for working so hard. But we do need to, like, you know what? I am going to set aside. I can't let Church of the Highlands, as much as I love it, get ahead of Tammy. I can't let even our kids, as much as I love them. Tammy and I had this conversation yesterday. Our kids are demanding a lot of this these days. They're all in different phases of life. My son and his wife, one of my sons and his wife are taking a job at another ministry in another place. I'm trying to help them move. Another one's got two kids. We're trying to help them raise these kids and spend time. It's a lot of work. And I told Tammy, she was overwhelmed a little bit yesterday. I said, baby, me and you. I was like, forget them. We ain't going to give the best of our energies to them. Me. Come on, y'all. Y'all listening to me? Yes. It's good preaching. It really is, all right? And watch what happens. So now this chorus of friends, by the way, you're going to discover who they are today. You're going to get to know who the friends are. But they speak up and they go, man, who is this? I've never seen a couple like that. And they're admiring, man, who is this coming up from the wilderness leaning on each other that way? And again, I'm throwing that out there to you that if you'll let God work in your life, people will notice. And Tammy and I are far from perfect. We still have issues. Please don't idolize our relationship. But I'm going to tell you, we work hard on it. I mean, we're not at the destination, but we're on the journey. We are spending time, and I'm going to tell you, the goal is for people to see. Let your light shine before men, Jesus said, that they see how you live your life and they'll want to glorify your God in heaven. The hope of the gospel is that God does such a work inside you that people go, man, I want to go to church where you go. I want your God. That's, who is this? I don't even recognize you anymore. Man, look what God's done in you. And then she says, under the apple tree, I roused you. There your mother conceived you. She's remembering the moment Solomon was born. And she says, there she who was in labor gave you birth. She's saying, I understand now that God always had you for me. She was basically saying, Solomon, the reason why you were born is so that one day we could get together. And then she says this beautiful statement, place me like a seal. A seal was a sign of ownership. Whenever you put your seal on something, you've seen the old movies where they had that signet ring and that clay. It was kind of like the modern day credit card swipe. They said, I'm purchasing it. I'm purchasing it. It was a seal. And she goes, I want to be sealed. I want to be purchased. I want you to possess me like a seal on your arm. She says, for love is as strong as death. It's literally where we get the line now in the wedding vows, till death do us part. She said, I want, the only condition for us to be not together is death. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. Notice the language. And it burns like blazing fire. She was talking about hell, like a mighty flame. She was basically saying, and it's a little crude, but I'm going to say it like it really reads, may I go to hell if I let anything come between me and you. In fact, in the Jewish culture, used to, not any longer, of course, they would cut up an animal at the wedding ceremony into pieces. And the couple would go arm in arm and walk among the pieces and look down at this dismembered animal and say, may it happen to us like it happened to this animal if we ever do anything that lets us be apart. What's the secret that we can learn 3,000 years later? Write it down in your notes, and that is that lasting love is permanent. It's permanent. Now, I want to stop right here and say to every person who's ever gone through a divorce, is in a divorce, you've ever been hurt by someone, listen to me. One of the ground rules of this whole series has been, hey, we're letting the past be the past. If you've been divorced 30 times, it ain't going to happen 31. Come on, somebody, right? Jesus forgives. He heals. All things can be made new. But we can't, just because we've had some bad experiences, throw out some principles that God now wants you to have from this day forward. And I throw that out to you because I always feel the tension in the room. You don't know my story. You don't know my situation. I'm telling you, though, you'll never have a successful relationship until you throw the option of divorce off the table. Now, are there conditions? Certainly they are. But I can't go into it with this mindset of, you better behave yourself, or I'll be out of here. No. I want to be possessed by you. I want you to own me. I want it to be permanent. And I want to say it's really important. Don't let the wounds of the past, the things of the past, look, be healed in Jesus' name. Fresh start, clean slate. God offers that to you. But from this day forward, we're going to follow God's way. And watch, you're going to see in this text what it will deliver for you. She goes on to say, many waters cannot quench love. No matter what comes against us, we're not going to let the fire die out. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. That's a hard thing to understand. Here's basically what that's saying. He's saying, if somebody even dared to come up to me and saying, I want your wife and I'm willing to pay for her, he goes, I'd want to knock his head off. Why would you even consider something? I'll give you $10,000 for Miss Tammy. I can't even believe you asked me that. I'll give you $10 billion. Give me to the end of the day. No. I'm just kidding. They were tense, Tammy. They were. They needed a joke right there. They really did. I could feel the tension in the room. So there you go, all right? No. No, you're not. I'm nothing. I'm not going to let anything come against our love. Nothing. Not the kids, not my job, not storms. And Lord knows there's going to be some storms. Come on, married folks, say a good amen. Only the newlyweds think there's not. Oh, no, I found the perfect one. Look at our Instagram post. Yeah, just wait. You know what honeymoon means? It means sweet month. Honey, sweet. The moon has a 29-day cycle. It's only good for about 29 days. They won't see your Instagram post then. Watch what happens, right? Right. What do you do? What do you do in the meantime? Lasting love perseveres. It's persevering. Man, you can, when the tough happens to us, man, we're going to buckle up and get closer. We're not going to let something tear us apart. No, man, we're going to get tough. We're going to work on this thing. And honestly, listen to me, look in my eyes and hear this. You don't need commitment to something unless you don't want to be committed to it. There's no need for the word if you're happy. Commitment's only needed when you're not happy. And that's why commitment means I'm willing to be unhappy for a while we work it out. I won't bail on you. And you need to know that about me. I need to know that about you. Your employer needs to know that about you, and you to your employer. That's the fabric of great relationships. Watch what happens next. The chorus of friends speak, and they tell who they are right here in this line. We have a little sister. That little sister is this maiden. And the chorus of friends is, it's her brothers. So there's the big reveal. This group of people that's admiring was her own family, her brothers. And we have a little sister, and they were remembering back. And her breasts are not yet grown, so she was before puberty. And they asked back then, what shall we do for our sister when she wants to get married on the day she is spoken for? Now, I don't know why the brothers are speaking up. It must mean we assume that her father died prematurely and her brothers have assumed the responsibility of their sister. So they were saying, man, what do we do when somebody wants to marry her? What are we going to do? And they answer the question in the next verse. And parents, I want you to listen. And young people, I want you to hear this very, very good. All right? Singles, listen to me. If she's a wall, so if she encloses herself, if she has a moral standard and a moral fabric around her, and she makes good decisions in a position of temptation, if she has walled herself in, then we will build towers of silver. Silver was a gift always used in a wedding. So they gave silver gifts. They said, oh, I'm going to let her get married then. But if she's a door, come on in. Who's next? Okay, your turn. If she's going to be that way, then we're going to have to enclose her ourselves. We'll make it where she can't. We will enclose her with panels of cedar. I like this, and I know this is uncomfortable language for some because in today's culture, everybody wants to be their own person, make their own decisions. You are not safe alone, my friends. You're not safe alone. You need a group of people who watch out for you. I have a group of people who watch out for me. I have people who look over my schedule with me. I have people who know the ins and outs of my life. Tammy and I, we do that find your phone thing. Like at any moment, I was telling my son yesterday, I said, do you have somebody, my son who came home from college, I said, do you have somebody watching out for you? Because I'm doing the best I can, but you're in Tuscaloosa. You're kind of away from me. Yes, sir. I've got one of the youth pastors at the Tuscaloosa campus. I'm real close to. Does he know where you're at? Yes, sir. He knows. Does he know your secrets? Yes, sir. He knows. I said, Jonathan, you have to be saved. Yes, sir. I know. Daddy, I promise you I am. There's people who know that about me. What am I doing? Lasting love is protective. Man, when Tammy says I'll be home at 4:30 and it's 5:30, man, I go to my little app and like, where is she? She could be in a ditch somewhere, had a wreck or something. We're protecting one another. Like, you say, well, man, that's just restrictive. No, it's not. It's not restrictive. It's protective. And you need it and I need it. I need people who know when I'm discouraged. I need pastors and friends to know, man, when I feel like giving up, there's days like that. Man, lasting love, it protects. And that's what her brothers did in this situation. I'm going to tell you, young people, you need it. Singles, you need that. You initiate it. Will you watch over my soul? Will you let me know? Because I'm going to tell you, when we're in love, we're blind. We don't know. You know, you help me. My daughter, you said, when she was dating, she's now married, two kids. I trained her in this. I said, baby, let me in your life. I won't force it, but let me in your life. She goes, Dad, there's a guy calling me. I said, okay. What do you think about him? She goes, I don't know. I want to know what you think about him. I said, Ma, you're my girl. I love that. That's my girl speaking there. She said, I am a wall. I wasn't a door. I'm a wall. and my breasts are like towers, meaning they were far out of reach. Thus I have become, watch this, this is beautiful. Thus I have become in Solomon's eyes like one who brings Solomon, and this is really not a great translation word here because it's the word in the Hebrew right here, shalom. I brought Solomon peace. Now we're relaxed. I'm going to tell you, Tammy and I don't have a perfect relationship, but we have a peaceful one. My kids and I don't have a perfect relationship, and we have all kind of moving parts going right now, but I'm going to tell you, we have a peaceful one because we've agreed to some things where we're just going to, we bought into the principles out of God's word. And here's my promise, look at me, to every one of you, if you'll buy into God's word, what it will eventually deliver is shalom. Not perfection, not without incident, but a whole lot of peace even in the middle of the storms. Come on, I'm preaching really good right now. Lasting love is peaceful. It's peaceful. And I love that. And I want to say to you that if you follow God's way is not restrictive. God's way is peaceful. Do you have less problems? Probably not. But you have peace even in the middle of them because you know God is right by your side. We are offering that to you. Step into the journey. Discover. Today you get a chance to join a church family or at least find out what a church family is all about here at Highlands. It didn't have to be this one, but find one and you'll find more peace. Get in a family. Get in a group. We all need that safety and that protection, and with it will come peace. Watch how it finishes. This is a beautiful last three or four verses here. Watch this. Here's another big reveal. Solomon had a vineyard. Well, the vineyard is the one she started out in chapter one. If you were here in week one, remember she's complaining. Man, my brothers made me go work into the vineyard, and it got my skin all dark and cracked and she's bitter about her brothers forcing her to go work in the vineyard. Well, guess who owned it? Solomon. Solomon owned the vineyard she complained about in chapter one. And he let it out. He rented it out to tenants. That was her brothers. And each was to bring for its fruit 1,000 shekels of silver. Watch this. But my own vineyard is mine to give. So remember, she says, man, I've messed up my body. Now she goes, no. Because of that decision, my brother's making me work there. Now I have something to give. Now what she resented, she now appreciates. Young people, I want you to hear this. She was basically saying, now I have something to give Solomon. I have this vineyard, my body, to give you, Solomon. And watch this. And I have 200 shekels I want to give to my brothers. In other words, she's honoring people now. Hey, Solomon, I'm going to give you my body, right? We're in a relationship now. My brothers, forgive me for complaining about this. Because had I not worked in the vineyard you forced me in, I would have never met Solomon. Because it was Solomon there who saw her going, wow, all the other girls were out there flaunting around in downtown with the veils on. But look at this girl submitting to her brothers, building her character. That's the one I want to marry. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's just so pretty. And I say that to young people because I know there are times when your parents say, don't, stop, die. You can't, no, you can't go there. And you get in your bedroom and you're mad because I felt that. I did. Listen to me. There'll be a day, we see it every time at weddings, when that they turn to their parents and they go, thank you. For the times you told me no, thank you. You knew exactly what you were talking about. Thank you. Because now we get each other. Oh, mom, dad, thank you. And young people, I know, it's just, they don't know. Yes, they do. Oh, yes, parents, I'm helping y'all out right now, okay? Yes, they do. My dad, I'm going to just say this. My mom's sitting here right on the front row. My dad is a wonderful man. He was best man at my wedding. But he was one of the strictest people I'd ever been around. He did not let you cut any corners at all. At all. I mean, we vacuumed our house every day before he came home from work. I mean, there was one time my dad asked me to wash his car, and I went out there, and he wasn't looking, so I just got a hose, and I just wiped it down real fast. I didn't use any soap. He came out there, you didn't use soap. Start over. Oh, I was so bitter. What in the world? And I'd mow the grass. He goes, no. It's uneven. The lines are uneven. Like, Daddy, come on. And every I dotted, every T crossed. When I was late, my dad said, where are you going tonight? Well, I'm going out. When are you going back? Well, it's going to be late. He says, no, it's not going to be late. It's going to be a number. You're going to give me a number, like a clock number. And he didn't really even care if it was like 2 o'clock. You're just going to give me a number. And it wasn't going to be 201. And if it was 201, my dad would be sitting at the front door at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're late. And I'd get in my bedroom and be like, oh, man. Well, guess what I have become today? All the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, the lawns are perfect. We start on time, we end on time. And what I despise, I now honor my dad for the way he treated me. And I'm telling you guys, come on, everybody. I'm telling you, young people, oh, listen to me. I'm for you today. And then he says, watch this. This is the last few verses, so beautiful. You who dwell in the gardens with friends in attendance, let me hear your voice. So he's at work. And he's basically, let me give you the modern day translation of this. He's at work and he texts her, hey, what you doing? He's basically saying, hey, they think I'm taking notes in the meeting, but I'm thinking about you. That's what's going on here. And by the way, men, one of the most beautiful, simple things you can give your wife is to let her know in the middle of your day you're thinking about her. Hey, I'm thinking about you. What's up? What are you doing? Watch what she says. She goes, leave the meeting. Isn't this beautiful? Don't you love the Bible, everybody? Why do drugs when you can do scripture? Come on, everybody. This is just so awesome. Come on. Hey, come home. Come home early. Come like a gazelle. I mean, like, she's like, hurry home, right? And you can enjoy, and she mentions her body again, the spice-laden mountain, and that's how the whole book ends, that this old, mature couple is deepening and strengthening their relationship. And here's the point I want you to hear. And when they followed God's way, they're now able to enjoy everything that God has for them. I've been given permission by Tammy to tell this story. I never tell a story about us without her permission. But when I travel, I often forget things. I get to my destination, and I don't have stuff like, I ain't even going to tell you what I forget, but I forget stuff, right? It's like, oh, my goodness. You know. And so Tammy helps me pack. She actually enjoys doing that. So she'll start. When I go on a trip, she pulls the suitcase out. She starts putting things in there. But she writes notes and hides them in garments. So as I go through the days of the trip, I get a different little message. She said, Pastor Chris, what's on the message? I ain't telling y'all. Use your imagination, all right? And so I'm on these trips, and my sister Carol is my personal assistant, and she's not only incredibly talented and very capable, but it's just so awesome. She's my sister in there, my sister too, because it's another layer of protection, and it's just beautiful in every way. But Carol knows every single trip, every trip. I call at the end of the trip, and I say, hey, is there any way I can get home early? So, are y'all figuring this out? Put it together. Come on, where y'all at, all right? Because these notes have put me over the top, y'all. Listen to me, right? Like, I got to get home. I got to come home now. Call Delta now. I got to come home now. And as flawed as we are and as sinful as we are and as much as God is still trying to do his work in us, I'm telling you, God is building something beautiful. And I say that to you not to admire us. I'm saying that to you to tease you to say, come on, we're no different than you. We just decided to follow God's way, and it has become beautiful. And I want to end with these two thoughts. You say, Chris, what is the real takeaway of this whole book? Write this down. And that is that love's not a feeling. Love has feelings, but love's a choice we make every day. In fact, watch this. Because love actually is more love when you don't feel like loving them. When your kids are throwing up at 2 a.m. and there's vomit everywhere, and you're on your hands and knees wiping up and you're putting a cold rag on their forehead, that's love. Something I don't want to do. I wish I wouldn't have to do this right now. It's love. Love is patient when your husband comes home irritable, which I do. Tammy just like, she loves me. Love is understanding when your wife's hormones are flying in a million different directions. Love has feelings, but love is not a feeling. Love is a choice, and you got to make it every day. And that's why the Bible says, above everything else, make this one choice, Church of the Highlands. Put on Love. It won't come on you. You're going to have to put it on. You got to actively say, I'm going to wear this today. And it binds. I dreamed when I was writing this message. When I wrote that verse down, I saw in my mind's eye, I think it's my spirit. I think this is how the Holy Spirit speaks. Husbands and wives going home today after this service and holding hands and saying, I need you to forgive me. And without getting into all the details, what would you think about just having a fresh start and letting God work in us? And my hope was that she or he would say, absolutely, let's go for it. We're going to put this on. We're going to treat each other the way Jesus treated us. I mean, Jesus' love is unbelievable. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, like, have you ever given Jesus a reason to ditch you? I have. And he's still there. I've royally messed up, and there he is. Welcome home, Chris. And honestly, you can put on that kind of love if, let me say it this way, you can't do it unless. Because I know there's people out there thinking, you don't know our story. I promise you, Pastor, you change your mind if you heard our story. And you ready for this? I would agree. Unless God's love transformed you, and because of the way he treated you, you now have this ability that you don't even recognize to love others. I want you to write down this last little phrase. It is the secret for every person who might even feel frustrated right now. It's being loved that gives you the capacity to love. It's being loved. And that's why the Bible says we love only because he loved us first. Bow your heads in prayer. Be as still as you can, every location. Oh, God, please move in hearts right now. I don't want them to be impressed with a message. God, I want them to be transformed by your word. And so, Father, come on, just receive this. I pray for healing among married couples, for singles who are frustrated for how long they've been single, for young people who are like, my parents are too strict. God, thank you for bringing healing today. You're bringing understanding. You're bringing strength to us through your word. God, I pray especially for the married couples. I pray, God, you would light a fresh fire on the inside of them. Bind up every wound. Forgive us of the past. Give them a fresh start, I pray. Oh, God, I pray for great grace on every relationship. I sense God doing something in this room right now, at every location. See, the reason why it may seem impossible, but it's actually possible, is because of the way God treats us. God loves you so much that he let his son be slaughtered on your behalf. I love you as much as anybody, and I'm not willing to do that. God loved you so much, and Jesus loved you so much to take it. Take the punishment for something you and I did. And it's experiencing that love that does the transforming work on the inside. Some of you need to experience that love today. Like, you've been to church, you're religious, you even might even call yourself a Christian, but you've not experienced the love of God. God wants to forgive you today. He wants to take away all the shame, the pain, the past, the hurts, the mistakes. He wants to make you brand new. You don't have to join this church to receive this prayer. But if you're here today and you say, Chris, I want to be transformed by the love of God. I want to repent. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to surrender. I'm tired of going my own way. I'm a Christian, but I've been away and I want to come back home. If that's you, you want to be included in this prayer. At every location, lift your hand high and say, include me in that prayer. Just right there where you're seated. Include me. Include me. Good, 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 good. Just lift it high. Don't just be bold. Thank you. That's God working in your life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Anybody else? Come on, lift your hand. Let me see it. Let me see it. Just like I want to be in that prayer. I'm not going to make you come down to the front. I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join? Anybody? We're going to pray. Let God know. Let God know. Thank you. Good job. Thank you. Anybody else? so good. Yes, yes, God bless you today. That's God working in people's hearts. So if you lifted your hand, pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I receive what you did on the cross. I surrender my life to you. I confess you as my Lord. And today I give you my life. Change me. Make me more like you. Thank you for loving me. Come on, tell him that. Thank you for loving me. I'm transformed by your love. In your name I pray. Amen.